You're tuning in to the Wild, Weird, and Sometimes Normal podcast. If you have a story or a guest recommendation that you think others need to hear, email me at wild, weird, and sometimes normal@gmail.com. Let's get this started. Alex and Brett, kick it!
Sometimes normal.
On this episode, I'm joined by horror author Hunter Shea. Hunter has written numerous books and several involve cryptids. He's a man that's well-researched in the topic, but then will write a fictional book about the Montauk Monster invading Long Island and eating the Real Housewives. I had an amazing time discussing all things weird and covering some of our favorite cryptids. Hunter has a book about the Jersey Devil and came down to the Pine Barrens to do research. He left less convinced there was a Jersey Devil, while pretty sure Bigfoot lurked in the woods. The scariest thing, though, he found in the Pine Barrens were the Pineys. And he's probably right about that. Give Hunter a follow everywhere, pick up a book or two, and let him know you heard him on Wild and Weird. Enjoy the show. Are you looking to buy a home in New Jersey? Escape the city and move to the suburbs? Finally purchase that vacation home on the lake or down the shore? Maybe you're one of the lucky ones who are retiring and moving out of state. If so, let me help you. Keller Williams and the Real Estate Professional Group have what you need to make your goals come true. Reach out and have a conversation with someone who will put you first. Contact Brian McCoach at 856-321-1212 or email brianmccoach@kw.com. Are you looking for CBD for your pet? My friends at Pure Pet Wellness have what you need. They use the highest quality ingredients. While other companies may use synthetic oils in their CBD, Pure Pet Wellness uses organic ingredients. Organically grown hemp, organic coconut oil, organic shea butter, organic beeswax, and that's just to name a few. A family-owned and operated company that also offers fast shipping. Go to purepetwellness.com for all your pet's CBD needs and use the discount code WILDANDWEIRD at checkout. That's Wild, A-N-D, Weird. Treat your animal right. Go to purepetwellness.com. Welcome to another episode of Wild, Weird, and Sometimes Normal. I'm your host, Brian. And tonight, my guest is Hunter Shea. He is a renaissance man of all cryptids and things that are weird. We have author, podcaster. He has been on TV. You're all over the place, man. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I tell everybody all the time, I would give up writing if I could do podcasting 24/7. I'd be perfectly happy just sit around and shoot the you-know-what all day long.
We're all trying to figure out the Joe Rogan or Bill Simmons. I'm like, how do I get $250 million to just sit here and BS and have my friends on? And, you know, Bill Simmons does sports. He doesn't really smoke weed and get drunk during it. And that might not be your thing. But Rogan, he has people on. He had Cat Williams on. They were just getting high as a kite. And it's like, you get paid hundreds of millions of dollars for this? I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, more power to him. I love his show, too. He's old school. He's like Dick Cavett on DMT. He gives that long format. You really get into it. Doesn't care what you're promoting, really. He's just there to have a conversation. Smoke cigars. I'm like, oh, he's got the life.
He does have the life. So before the pandemic, I like Rogan. I do like him. Before the pandemic, I loved every episode. And now that he's caught on to like the craziness of the world, sometimes I need to like step away from that. Like, man, like you're speaking my Twitter feed. I need to get away from this.
Oh, you will go nuts. Like the rabbit holes that even I love conspiracy theories. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I love listening to them. And there's a couple of podcasts I listen to and I kind of feel them getting more unhinged the deeper they go. And I'm like, man, I can't commit to that because I'll lose all sense of reality. I'll trust nobody. That's a terrible way to live.
That's the hard part. You know, I believe in some conspiracy theories, like nothing dangerous. I'm not going off the deep end here, but I also like to kind of collect them like baseball cards. Like I like to know what's going on. I like to hear what's going on. Some of it's absurd. Some of it, you know, could be true in 3 to 6 months. You know, say, hey, conspiracy theorists is just the newscaster 3 to 6 months ahead, but you can get caught up. I interviewed this guy, real nice guy. And he was probably mid-50s, late 60s, and he wrote a book, and it was the Conspiracy Guides survivalist guide or something. And when he was like 55, he's like, I found out the Fed was not real, like that it wasn't a government agency, and like it was just made up and they were in control of everything. And he's like, and from there I was in the flat earth. And he's like, I lost my family, I lost my four kids. It's like, dude, like deep breath, man. Like I feel bad for someone doing that cold plunge instead of, you know, maybe growing up a little bit and you're like, hey, what about these alien things? Or what about JFK? But if you just live in this bubble and it gets burst, like there are rabbit holes that do not end if you get in there.
Yeah,
it was tough.
You begin to doubt everything that you've ever seen, read, heard. It's crazy town. It almost feels intentional. It feels like
it does, like
designed to make you nuts and just unbelievable. We can discount him. He's crazy.
I tried to listen to a wide variety of podcasts. I listened to some crazy stuff. I listened to normal stuff about Rogan. Like some half of that stuff's normal. Even like just his fight podcast where they're just bullshitting as a fight's going on in the background. Like I just enjoy hearing them talk. And there was somebody on who was talking about sports being fixed and like times that you could just see a basketball just hang on the rim for an extra, like on the side of the rim for an extra heartbeat. That's like, well, there's magnets on there. And this guy was going through all this stuff. And he's like, well, I predict the Warriors are going to win this year because of this news story in here. And you know that it was like, oh, the blue and yellow of Ukraine shows it's going to be the Warriors colors. And then the Warriors win that year. And it's like, okay, but that's also not like a crazy pick to be like, oh, the Warriors are going to, oh, now this year it is. But like, it's 5 years ago, it wasn't that crazy. 3 years ago, to be like, hey, the Warriors are going to win. Like, really, do you think? Like, they're the best team. Uh-huh. But as he's going through this and he's showing things, I'm like, but like, this is my, sports is the last thing that I have that I'm trying not to look into to see like the fakeness of it. Like, please let me have this. I got over Hulk Hogan not being real and WWF, like a shock as a kid. As an adult, let me have my Eagles, let me have my Phillies, like, please.
Oh, my dad was way ahead of his time in the 80s. Every time you watch a game, he just go, oh, look at that fix. This is fixed. Everything's fixed. I'm like, oh God, Dad, please.
Football's the problem. Oh, I live in New Jersey and they just had this state championship game, I guess leading up to the championship, and this Saturday is going to be the state championship, and it was Manasquan versus Camden. Camden makes these free throws. They go up by one with like 3 seconds left. Manasquan full court inbound it. Kid runs up, Hail Mary three-pointer, does not go in. Kid underneath the basket on Manasquan gets it, puts it back up. Clear video. I guess high school, there's not video replays on the Jumbotron. Clear video, clear picture, out of his hands, 0.5 seconds left, goes in. Manasquan should win. Refs call it off. Parents are trying to show them video. Like, no, doesn't count. And the next day, the New Jersey State 2J, whatever it is, the governing board was like, oh yeah, the refs made a mistake, but once they leave the court, the score's final. Like, so sorry, guys.
I mean,
crazy.
A lot of most of my family actually lives in Manasquan, so they're feeling it. But it's true. I mean, even in professional sports, when it's over, it's over. You know,
and that's it. Yeah, yeah. And on football, you can call holding on football. There's a penalty on every single play, and it's like, what do you feel like calling? And who is the star quarterback on the other side? And are you going to call it on him and his team?
Yeah, just like if you're a Jet fan, they haven't had a roughing the passer penalty in 2 seasons, and those guys get creamed.
I think maybe that just goes to the talent of the quarterback. They're like, hey, man, like in the NBA, they're like, you're not a star. You don't get that foul. Like, it's just sorry. And then when, you know, Aaron Rodgers, like they were going to give him the roughing the passer, but then 4 seconds into the season, like, oh, I guess he's out. Like, oh, Zach Wilson, go get murdered. We didn't see anything.
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah. That's tough for him. That's tough. That's future contracts for him. Like all this stuff. I don't think he's as bad as the product in the field shows. But at this point, he has to have like zero confidence, has to be shattered.
I mean, he's not as bad, but he's not good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like the Jets. I'm a Seahawks fan, but I like the Jets, and I've seen just terrible quarterbacks come and go there, and he is not good. He's good for about 2 games. He's a good backup, I think.
So if he was a backup, if Aaron Rodgers, not that he's, you know, he's on the wrong side of 40, but if Aaron Rodgers was there all season, he wasn't hurt, could Zach Wilson have sat behind him, learned a little more, learned the game a little more, let it slow down, and a year or two step in? And instead it was, man, you blew last year. Then the season starts and Aaron Rodgers is out, and they're like, we actually didn't make a plan B. He's not supposed to get hurt. And now you go back out there and get killed again.
Yeah. Who would think a 40-something-year-old quarterback would get hurt?
Just nuts. He went into his recovery room and he was doing DMT trips to heal his Achilles. And he definitely didn't lead people on all season. I'm like, hey, I might be back. Hey, I might be back. Don't worry. I could be back any day now.
It's so crazy. That's why I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to pivot all my attention to the Seahawks. I'm not going to pay attention to the Jets at all.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, man, let's get in. This was good stuff. Let's get into the real good stuff. You write books on cryptids. You're a cryptid encyclopedia over here. What captured your intent?
Yeah.
Attention at this. Like, at what point did you decide, like, hey, I'm in? For me, it was the Loch Ness Monster as a little kid. I didn't care the facts of it. I didn't care. Like, the Loch Ness Monster was cool. I wanted that to be real. I still want it to be real. I think I'm the wrong side of that now, though.
Look, I think if anything's going to be real, it's something from the sea. And I'm friends with Lorne Coleman, the godfather of cryptozoology, and we both agree. The sea, deep sea, is probably where you'll find things. But for me, this whole fascination, I'm not very unique. I grew up, I was a kid in the 70s, and that show In Search Of did it for me. And when they did that episode on Bigfoot, went right to the little library in the Bronx, got every Bigfoot book I could find, which was two. Unlike nowadays, there's a million. And then, like, I think, you know, next season it was Loch Ness Monster. Boom, went to the library, Loch Ness Monster. So I was always fascinated with those things and UFOs. Like Bigfoot, Nessie, UFOs. Those are my holy trinity of weird fascinations as a kid growing up. But when I started writing, I never set out to write books about cryptids. That was not the intention. In fact, my first few books were all like paranormal ghost books. Because A, that also fascinated me. We lived in a haunted house at the time. We lived there for 26 years. So that was like my passion. But then I was talking to my editor. It was late at night where I neither could sleep. So we're emailing each other. And he said, I need an idea for another book, maybe like a novella, something that'll be quick to write, just so you can keep the pace of two books a year coming out with us. And I was watching, of all things, Bar Rescue. And you know, show it to John Tapper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at him, I go, man, he looks like a shaved skunk ape. And I was like, skunk ape. And I swear to God, the entire idea from start to finish hit me in like a minute. I wrote it back to my editor. He goes, do it. And you know, not far long from that, Swamp Monster Massacre was born. And an editor at another publisher read that book, loved it, and said, can you write cryptid books for me? And then we've been working together for years now. But then Montauk Monster came out of that, and Jersey Devil came right after that. And then I'm doing Dover Demon and Loch Ness Monster. So I just got to fulfill like this childhood fascination and love of cryptids with this new weird ass writing career that somehow I created. And it's been a blast ever since.
So I'm sure you have to do research on each cryptid. Like, so are you just Google top 20 cryptids and you're like, oh, that's interesting, let me go dive into, you know, like Skunk Ape rolled off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Like, how much did you know about him? And like, are you doing, like, could you turn these into almost like an encyclopedia of like how much you're looking into this to then make it into your story?
My friends and family will tell you that I know way too much about weird things like this. So for skunk apes, when it comes to Bigfoot, skunk apes, even Jersey Devil, I didn't need to do much research because it was already there. It was stuff I'd grown up consuming. And back in the day when you could get like cool magazines on the newsstand, anything that dealt with paranormal or cryptozoology, I would cut the articles out and paste them on my wall and stuff. So I grew up absorbing that. It wasn't until like when I hit the Dover Demon, I was like, what the hell is that? I'd never even heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Did some research. It's a cryptid that appeared over the course of two nights in Dover, Massachusetts, which is an affluent town. So it's not the middle of nowhere with people living in tin shacks, chugging some moonshine. It looks like an alien, but at the time they thought it was a creature. Lauren Coleman was the one who actually told me, says, this little guy doesn't get enough attention. And he's the one who coined it the Dover Demon. And he said, you should write a book about this. So I got to credit him with writing that book. And you know, what I do is I take the basis of whatever the folklore is, the mystery, and then I just amp it up to 11 and just make absolute mayhem.
And that's all people want anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, all right, how many people can I kill with this thing?
Because more. They're always more.
Yeah, they're
I'll run me like more.
When I did the Montauk Monster, and that's that's based on the body of a thing that washed up on this beach in Montauk, New York. And the more I looked into it, I was like, oh my God, Plum Island is right there. And that's where they were doing all these experiments on infectious diseases. It was founded by a Nazi, brought over by Project Paperclip. This is real stuff. And I was talking to my editor and he's like, hey, what about like if we make hundreds of these things instead of one? I was like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. He goes, yeah, we should like kill as much of like Long Island as possible. I was like, I dig it. And we rolled. He was like, oh, you should put some real housewives in there. Like set up a Real Housewives of the Hamptons or whatever and kill them. I'm like, yes. It was like a kill list.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Plum Island, they think that's where Lyme's disease came out of. So the Nazis were working on in World War II. What's better with all the troops just lay down and like went to sleep and died? Like instead of us having to go fight them, what if they just decide they couldn't get up? So they were trying to infect fleas and things like this. And they had, I guess, minor success. And then Operation Paperclip, we just talked about, they bring all the Nazis over here, erase their records, wash their names, put them in charge of NASA and everything else that's, you know, ever important to us, pretend like they weren't horrible people and, you know, let them continue their experiments. And this is then Lyme, New York is like catty corner to Plum Island. And they think that's where one of the first cases came ashore for there. So very interesting.
There's a great book. I forget the name of it, but it's on the mistreatment of that island and how, you know, not getting enough money and everything falling apart. And just, it wasn't secure anymore. And the island was also full of 1,000 stray cats. It would be very easy for one of those stray cats to get on a ferry, complete with these ticks, and then spread it out. And now it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's terrible. So I grew up in South Jersey. We were talking about this. And like I would go play in the woods all the time. You know, Cherry Hill area, like Camden County type of thing. So like this isn't like the forest. Like you live in the mountains now. This isn't like that. But this is like, you know, like wooded areas, like a mile of woods. And there's hills and whatever. I never got sick. Zero. I live on the doorsteps of the Pine Barrens now. We have trees in my backyard. We go through nature hikes. I feel like every week we're pulling ticks off of my kids. Luckily, the first time was like, oh my God, they have a tick. We have to go send this out to some lab in Pennsylvania. It's $150 and they'll test it and see if it has it. And completely fine. You know, like $300 later, I'm like, we have no money now. I'm like, what's happening here? But now you pop them off. Those little suckers, man, they're nasty.
I had never gotten a tick because I lived most of my life right outside Manhattan. So like our lawn was the size of probably 4 king-size beds. So there wasn't much. But we were in Maine last year, and I got my first tick in a very sensitive area.
Oh, that's what I hear. They like that warmth out and that darkness over there.
I was so freaked out. And then my wife's like, should we get it checked? I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Lyme disease, I got it.
I got tired all the time anyway. Who cares? My bones hurt. What's the disease going to be?
Exactly. And now we move here, and we're in the woods. And like I just, before, like an hour ago, I fed 20 deer outside my door. And I tell everybody, my entire family will have Lyme disease by the end of this summer.
You're become immune to it, though. You'll have so much of it. You know, you're just going to like, you'll turn into your own super creature.
That's a good idea. I should just keep pouring more lime into me. Just cover myself with ticks.
That's it. Yeah. I think that's what Spider-Man did.
I'll just have to irradiate them. I'll put them in the microwave for a little bit.
Doorstep of the Pine Barrens over here. This is Jersey Devil territory. I did some Googling when I was starting this podcast. I was like, I wonder if Bigfoot ever shows up in the Pine Barrens because it runs for like a third of the state, you know, north to south and, you know, pretty wide towards the shore area. And I saw that there was all these Bigfoot sightings. And I'll take up Route 206 to go to my day job. And so it's probably like a 30-mile ride up there and go close to McGuire and all this stuff. And I was like, nah, it's like too populated. I don't know. So it ended up being this guy in my neighborhood who is a Bigfoot hunter. And he goes out into, not like gun hunting, like he goes out to look for him.
A seeker.
A seeker, a Bigfoot seeker. Sometimes he does carry a weapon, though. That's more for, I think, people he might run into the woods.
So he was telling me,
right down the street from me, I mean, he lives in my neighborhood. He lives in my town. Right down the street from me, like I see it all the time. He's like, I saw two Bigfoot cross through there, like at the same time at night, a couple days apart. He's like, I'm in the woods. Relatively near me. I could drive there in 5-10 minutes. And he's like, I'm hearing wood knocks at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And one time he was trying to set up these apple things. He said the thing growled so loud, it vibrated in his ear. And he's like, I slowly turned. He's like, I couldn't see it. But he's like, this was not, you know, we don't have bears down. We're not really supposed to have bears down here. We do have coyotes a little bit, but like, I don't really hear them at night. I'm not supposed to have wolves, like just a little too far south for all this stuff. He's like, this is something I've never heard before. So absolute madness. Now,
I don't doubt it.
My wife's grandfather, before he passed away, he was up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, up around you probably. And going up there, I could see how a Bigfoot, how a giant ape could live in mountains like that, could live in upstate New York where people's backyards just, their house backs up to this, 100-foot, 200-foot straight up cliff that, mm-hmm. You wouldn't be surprised, like goats are living. I'm like, people can't go climb that. That's not like recreational. For being flat around here, like I was just kind of surprised. Do you have any thoughts on it being a real creature?
I have a lot of thoughts about that. When I was going to write The Jersey Devil, I said, all right, this is going to be set in the Pine Barrens and around the area. I said, I got to go to the Pine Barrens myself. So my brother-in-law, we loaded up. We went to the Pine Barrens. We drove around. I would not be surprised if a brontosaurus walked across the road at certain areas of the Pine Barrens. It is remote as hell. It could support a family of anything out there, including the Pineys, which she had the gun for.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was because we would stop at places and we would talk to people, and I was trying to get stories like real first, third, fourth, fifth hand accounts of the Jersey Devil. I got none. I got Bigfoot stories everywhere. And sometimes the people like hear me talking to somebody, they go, oh man, you got to hear what I saw. It would just compound on each other. And even I went to a brewery down in your area. I forget the name of it now. It was a local microbrew. I was doing a book signing there. And again, everyone's like, oh yeah, Jersey Devil. You know what's really out here? Bigfoot. Including somebody told me a terrifying story. He was on ATVs at probably around midnight, him and his wife and a couple of friends, and something swiped at one of them coming out of the woods.
Wow.
Just missed them. And then they turned around and I saw this giant hairy creature walk across the road and go back into the woods. I'm like, ooh, like I'd like to go squatching, but I think I'd regret it if something like that happened. I'd be really mad at myself for going.
So we've gone up to the Finger Lakes the last 2 years. My wife and I would go around our anniversary to go up there. And outside the back of our hotel, there's a trail that they cut into that goes into the State Forest Trail for Buttermilk Falls. So really nice, beautiful waterfall thing. It's kind of flat. It's not like this giant one. It's kind of layered, does all this stuff. But as we're walking, I always take a picture and I'll send like my family's group text. I'm like, we're out squatching. I'm like, I tell my wife, I'm like, I knew it. I turned you into this. And she's like, I am not squatching right now. I refuse to be a part of this. But hey, during the day and you're walking the woods, that's fun. Nighttime in the woods, it is easy to get turned around in there. It is easy to miss your footing or whatever, to run into Pineys.
That was my biggest fear, was running into Pineys. We found an abandoned church and an abandoned graveyard that had graves from the early 1800s. And as we were walking around, all of a sudden we hear gunshots, like not far away. I was like, all right, we got to go. Right. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not sure if you can hunt in the Pine Barrens or not, but it's also not like you could go find somebody who is hunting illegally. They have the DEP and the Rangers through there, but like, I doubt they're really caring that much if it's pretty deep in there.
There's a lot of pot fields out there.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
You don't want to walk into those either by accident. I'm not an outdoorsman at all. I'm a city guy, but I do want to go squatching. My goal is to go sometime this spring or summer, but I have to hook up with a group of people who know what they're doing. So that's what my search is for right now.
I will send you the information for my guide I interviewed. He goes out, he goes into Pennsylvania. They do some state parks over there. Does the Pine Barrens over here, and they go up to New York.
Oh.
And he's part of the BFO. He does all the stuff. And I actually have an interview, another Bigfoot guy coming up. And he was vetting me like to see if like I was going to turn into a joke or not with him.
Right.
And he's like, do you have another Bigfoot? So I gave that guy and he listened to it. He's like, I just listened to it. I think your episode was quality. You treat it with respect. And he's like, and actually that guy subscribes to my newsletter. And he's part of the BFO that I am. I was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah. You're bringing people together.
That's all it is. Yeah. Because it would have to suck if you truly believe in something and then someone gets you on for a podcast and then turns it into a joke. And either if you don't catch on to it right away or, just kind of like demeaning something that you could either like as a hobby or truly, truly believe in,
right?
And turn into this whole like asshole thing.
I had an incident once. I had somebody reach out to me on Facebook. She was a young woman. And she lived in Washington State. And she says, I am going to go camp. I've never gone camping, but I'm going to go looking for Bigfoot by myself.
what do you think I should do? I said, don't ask me. I said, I'm the worst person to tell you anything. I will tell you how to write a story about a rampaging Bigfoot and the bad things that he'll do to you. I said, but promise me you won't go. And then she comes back a week later. She goes, no, I've decided I'm going to go. And I'll tell you everything if I find anything, I'll send it to you. But I'll just tell you no matter what. Never heard from her again.
Wow.
Yeah. And I also, at one point I was on a podcast, I was like, everybody, I am a fiction author who just happens to know a lot about these creatures. But please, dear God, don't use me as your impetus to go out by yourselves. I said, if you go anywhere, find a group of people who are experienced and go with them.
And don't use me as your phone friend. Like, I made half the stuff up. Like, I know a little bit of the lore. Like, this is fiction. I can turn this into anything I want.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're going to go to Loch Ness? Oh, great. I'm not the expert. I wrote about multiple Loch Ness monsters rampaging through the loch and crazy German guys with cache of weapons going after them. I said, don't take what I say for real.
Out of all these cryptids or even the books you've written, what do you think has the most likelihood to be real?
You know what's funny? I would have said any lake creature. Pick one. One of them I think might be real. But the deeper I've gone into this, the more I'm really starting to believe there is a Bigfoot. I don't believe in the woo Bigfoot. I don't believe in the interdimensional. Like, that's the hot thing now. Everything's interdimensional. Bigfoots are interdimensional. Loch Ness is interdimensional. UFOs. I believe it's a real flesh and blood something. Whether it's an offshoot of humans, it's some undiscovered, I don't know, mix of Neanderthal and Homo sapiens, or type of gorilla, I have no idea. But there's just been so many sightings over centuries. This isn't just a thing that we made up in 19 for the Patterson-Gimlin film in 67. This has been going on for a very long time. There, Native American tribes speak of it reverentially or in terror. I think that's a pretty good bet there's something out there. And people don't understand how vast some of these wilderness areas are. I mean, there are parts of this country that nobody has ever stepped foot on, no human. And they could be there.
So that's when I was saying, I find it hard for the Pine Barrens. And then I started doing the math. So from the shore to Philadelphia for New Jersey's, give or take, I don't know, maybe it's under 60 miles, about 50 miles wide. Mm-hmm. So the Pine Barrens at parts are about 30 miles wide, depending. You can go up to the marshes of the shore, and then it'll start kicking out over towards this way. And then, I'm about 11 miles from Philadelphia. So to think that there's this 30 mile wide by, I don't know how, it's at least 30 miles north and south, so you're looking at, what's that, 900 square miles of Bigfoot territory?
I think it's possible. There's some primeval like forest in
type
there.
Of thing, and you get that's just from New Jersey. Then you get like these other places that are like truly habitable for a Bigfoot.
You talk about the Appalachian Trail. I have a friend who's hiked the whole thing. First thing I asked, "Did you see Bigfoot?" He was like,
"What was the answer?"
He's like, "No." He goes, "But I did come across about four people who I wondered if they were going to murder me or just came from a murder." I'm like, "Yeah, that's why I ever couldn't do something like that." All that strenuous effort and maybe get killed? No.
Yeah. You're exhausted. You're walking. You finally think you see a friend. So whenever we go hiking, and so I'm up, in the Finger Lakes or even around here, and I always say hi to the people in the woods as you pass them. Like, just like, hey, how's it going? Hey, hey, hey. And I was like, why are you saying hi to them? I'm like, one, so they don't murder us. Like, if we make contact, like, now I'm a friend. Like, they don't want to murder me immediately.
I said hi. I'm unkillable.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm like, killable. But I was like, if you just walk past them and like, I don't know what they're going to do, but at least if I say hi, maybe like disarms them or something. I was like, and then also if they come back and we're like dying and hurt, like they might help us instead of like, oh, there's the assholes that just ignored us.
Yeah, just got the earbuds in, just not even paying attention where they're going.
Just head down, not paying attention. Like, ah, screw these people.
It's so funny because when I go hike, if I hike and I'm out, I don't put earbuds in.
I think it ruins what you're trying to do.
It ruins what you're trying to do when you're not aware. And I don't know, maybe it's the New Yorker in me. I have to be aware at all times. And I don't like shutting myself out. And if you're in nature, be in nature. Enjoy the silence.
That's part of it. I mean, and depending where you are, I mean, you could have large cats. You can have, there's people running in California, and they have those bobcats and everything. If they go behind the trails, and all the coyotes will try to take single people now. Apparently, they're getting more aggressive as they're out there.
Oh, geez.
You can't be tuned off like to that. You need to be listening to your surroundings and seeing what's happening.
Have your shotgun ready.
Yeah. not New Jersey, but you know, somewhere.
Yeah. I think around here, I think I can walk around with a holster and a shotgun. I don't think anyone's going to care.
I think if you don't have one, they might just give you one. They're like, whoa, buddy, hold on. You seem like you're ill prepared. Take this.
There are a lot of don't tread on me stickers on trucks around here. My wife's like, she looked at me, she goes, oh, you're home.
That arm society's a polite society. It's a fine line to walk. Yeah, it's a fine line to walk of everybody should carry, or, you know, I don't know what the alternative is.
Me either. I don't know. Just leave me alone. That's all I ask.
That's it. Please, for love of God. Just leave. I'm trying to feed my deer out here and get super Lyme disease. Why do people keep interfering with me?
I have goals.
Yeah, got goals.
Don't stop my goals.
So there's this podcast, this guy, Tony Merkel, and he'll have people come on just about whatever weird stories they want. So he had two people. This is my whole Tony Merkel ad I'm going to do for him here. He had two episodes, one for a guy in Ohio, and it was this hunter. And as he's talking, you're like, my God, man, like this guy is kind of like a little methy. He's telling a story like this. None of this is true, but he's going on and he'll start telling a story. Then he'll stop and, you know, he stops in the middle and goes back and he has to correct something. And he's going forward. Tony's peppering with questions. He's answering all of them. And then like, he'll be like, oh, hold on, I meant to tell you this part. And like, go back and like clarify a part of the story and continue from there. So a lot of this, it does not seem made up at all. So right. He's going on and he's like, I'm a hunter in Ohio. And he's like, I live on this street where my parents did. And, you know, seasonally we would hear Bigfoot, and, you know, I moved down. So I just assumed there was like these large plots of land. He's like, oh, I moved several miles down to my parents, but still in the same street. And he's like, I'm out there planting lima beans because he wants the gobblers. He wants turkeys. He keeps talking about turkeys. That's all he wants. And okay. He's like, these Bigfoot come in and they're eating my lima beans, and I have trail cams and I can see their leg. Blah. I'm just trying to get my gobbler. And Tony's like, dude, like, are we talking about Bigfoot or turkeys? Like, no, you don't understand. Like, I have two deer tags and I have two turkey tags. That's all I want to do is get these things. So he's going on, and he's saying that he is in the woods. He's completely dressed, camouflage, head to toe, looks like a bush, has like fox piss on him, so you can't smell anything. His phone's not on him. There's no electro radiation. There's nothing happening. And he has his shotgun, and he said he sees a Bigfoot cutting across the field. And he's like, in my head, if that thing gets within 15 feet, he's like, I need to shoot it because it's going to cover the ground so fast to me. And he's like, He's like, I'm praying it goes like this other way. He's like, it does not see me. And it's walking. And he's like, I take two shots and I blow its fucking head off. And Tony's like, whoa, like what? Like you killed. He's like, I shot its head off. He's like, I walked over. The thing stunk. I'm standing over it. Half of its head's missing. And he's like, and then the other Bigfoots in the trees start freaking out and hooting, hollering and throwing rocks down at him. So he says he goes home. And he's calling his buddies, but his buddies are like real meth people. And he's like, I don't do drugs anymore. I don't drink any, going on and on. But he's like, I come back and the Bigfoot's drug half a mile up. So then like the Men in Black come, and like these park rangers, then they're talking to him.
Oh, my Lord.
And apparently for the guy for telling his story, so Tony, he's like, hey man, like I would love to come out and see where this Bigfoot, like where this was. And he's like, well, and I'm like, yep, you got him, man. It's bullshit. Like he's not going to do it. And he's like, let me get my two gobblers first. And then I don't care. You can come out after that. Shit, man, like maybe that's a real story.
And let me tell you, it's a great story that now I'm gonna write. No,
you're gonna write that. So and this other one, this is LBC, Louisiana something triangle. So this cop, he was the sheriff of the town, and he was the head of FOP, he was the head of like the union, and so then, and he's the sheriff, so a lot of respect if you subscribe to that world. Somebody who's very serious, like he wouldn't make up stories. Right. You know, somebody you would turn to if you need help. So him and his buddy, who is also a cop, very serious, they go out in the woods. They're going to spend 3 days there. They start, you know, they set up camp and everything. He's like, oh, we drive there. We run this guy named Bubba. We talked to him a little bit. His nickname was Bubba. So he's like, oh, we're two Bubbas. We're talking. And he's like, oh, we break ways. Hey, did you see anything? No, I didn't see anything. Oh, I saw a deer over here. Okay, great. So they break ways. And him and his buddy, they set up camp. And they're like, hey, let's see if we can get anything. He's like, I'm going to head this way. You head that way. So he goes, he stays out in the middle of the field, and corn cobs start getting thrown at him. He's like, all right, like, this is weird. It's getting late. I'm going to head back. So he said he heads back, and his partner is already in camp, and he looks a little agitated. And he's like, hey, man, like, somebody was throwing corn cobs at me in the middle of the woods. He's like, that's weird. Like, somebody was throwing corn cobs at me. Like, what do you think's happening over here? So they get there, and the fire's going. and they start seeing a dog man. And there's like a dog man coming at them on the outskirts of the darkness, like where the fire isn't reaching the woods. And they can kind of see it, like it's walking towards them. And they pointed the gun at it and it kind of stopped. It recognized like what it was and it backed up. And then a second one shows up and it jumps up to above them. It's knocking like boulders down on them. And they're like, dude, we have to get out of here. They were frozen, like as they were standing there, and they both kind of snapped out of it. Like, dude, we need to go. Like, let's get in the truck. They got in the truck, pickup truck. Turn the lights on. There's two Bigfoot in the field in front of them staring at them. And there's this dog man that runs, slashes up the side of their car. They pull over. He's like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. He's like, we both threw up on ourselves and we both did number one and number two in our pants.
Oh my God.
Like, all right, this is like a 60-year-old man who is very well respected. I don't think you would go on. I mean, you know, maybe doesn't
zero
understand,
to gain.
Like,
there's nothing.
Zero to gain. Telling the story about. So then they get out of the woods. They clean themselves up a little bit and they go to the trooper station the next day. And there's all these cops there. And the guy, the one cop, the FOP guy, he kind of knew some of them. And he's like, what happened? And they're like, oh, a bear ripped apart a camper. So apparently the other guy, Bubba, that they met was the thing torn to shreds. And like, man, nice. We think it was a dog man that got him. Just a crazy.
See,
the hunter with the lima beans, like nothing to gain. Like that guy just sounds like weird, but he just kept talking about you want to shoot turkeys. And this other person, like you're just ruining an entire lifetime. And this is, you know, this is somebody who'd be like our parents' age or like or our grandfather. It's like very serious person who wouldn't, I don't think would want
to
do this.
You have to take the source into account and the wildness of the story, especially if somebody it has these long encounters. I'm like, I don't know. These things are very elusive. Whatever it is you're looking for, they all share one thing in their DNA. They are elusive. They don't want to be found. They come and go. But that story, you got this law enforcement person peeing himself and telling about it. He's only got everything to lose. Now, a methy kind of person, they don't care. You could stop drugs. That is still coming back at you for maybe the rest of your life. Depends how much you consumed.
He's a little bit of meth brain. So like, I don't know, but he kept talking about the turkeys. He's like, I don't even really want to tell you about Bigfoot. I want to tell you about the two turkeys that I got. And then Tony's like, dude, like you're here to, I'm here to hear about Bigfoot.
That's the craziest
show to talk about your turkeys. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of nuts. But then again, you can't discount everybody just because of their past or that too. I just think it's fascinating to talk to people about their experience and kind of collecting those experiences. Some people I've seen or spoken to, I'm like, man, if they're lying, everyone in Hollywood should just sit with them to learn how to act. Because some of them, you can see. Some would just tell it like it's nothing. The ones who tell it and you can see it still affects them, you can't fake that emotion. That doesn't make it necessarily that what they saw was real, but they believe it's real. And those kind of stories get me. When I can look somebody in the eye and I just see that they're reliving it and they're feeling the fear or the whatever they felt that moment. And you can see that written on their face. Those are the most compelling stories to me. And look, I don't know if any of this stuff is real or not. I pray to God all of it is. Wouldn't it be a better world?
It'd be a lot more interesting. I might not take my trash out at night anymore. I might be like, I'm just like a daylight kind of guy.
I worry about my trash here just for bears. And oh, it's March. Yeah, they're going to be waking up soon. So I was comfortable for a while.
Put bricks on top of whatever you need to do, or, you know, a Febreze smell so they stay away.
We have a lot of bear here because we've come up to this area many times for years. And there have been some times where I just walk out the door and there's like a 400-pound bear just lumbering past. I'm like, okay, back inside. Watch TV for a while.
Did you ever see the documentary movie Grizzly Man? That guy who went out in like the Alaska woods and he was trying to make his own. Oh my God. What a poor guy. Poor guy, man.
Misguided, maybe.
Yeah.
But made for a great
friends
story.
With them. I'm going to try to give him a hug. I was like, whoa. Yep.
I was just watching some video earlier about somebody took in a mountain lion that was hit on the side of the road and then brought it to their home. And it's still there. And they're like putting their head against it. I'm like going, no, it's a wild animal.
Yeah. Like Siegfried and Roy, man. Like they were magic. They could have made things disappear and they still got eaten by the tiger.
Yeah. And those tigers were well fed. Probably on some, you know, like good mellow drugs. It still doesn't matter.
Yeah. They mixed up the dose, whatever they were giving it. They gave it the peppy pills.
Look, I have two cats. I know that they will eat me if I sleep too long. They love to attack. It's in their nature.
If you start thinking about large cats, so just a small house cat, I have a cat, and you know, when she was in her prime, if she didn't want to do something, and I'm like, this is like 15 pounds of pure muscle and aggression. And I'm like, what is happening? And now you start talking about cats getting up to, you know, 75 or whatever, like a panther or something you get up to. It's like, Jesus, that is just a killing machine.
Yeah, their hand could take your whole neck out in one swipe, and you're done. Be wary of wildlife. It's wild.
Stay away. Stay. If they're outside the road, somebody will get it later and eat it. Don't, like, you don't need to save it.
And don't try to take a selfie. Don't try to get up close because they look cute. This is a personal. This is a PSA.
Get your pet spayed and neutered, and don't get the selfie with them.
Stay the hell away from the wildlife. Look at them from a distance. Don't go squatching by yourself if you've never been in the woods. There's so many lessons to be learned tonight.
Yeah. And if they do, like, don't tell you. Like, man, I am not your resource for help on any of this.
No. Look, if you want to talk monsters. It's funny you mentioned dogmen. I've never done anything with dogmen. They're on my list. Like, I have a cryptid list of things I want to hit. For years, my favorite cryptid of all, just the story of it, is Mothman.
You like him?
The Mothman down there in Point Pleasant, West Virginia in the 60s. That story is so fascinating because it's not just a cryptid. Sure, there's this big winged Mothman with red eyes, but there's men in black. There are ghosts. There are lights in the sky. There's just so much high strangeness in such a short period of time. That to me, that's the holy grail of paranormal, is whatever happened there. And something definitely happened there. So now what it is.
Have you heard the Chicago Mothman that's been popping up recently?
Yeah. There was a Chicago Mothman a few years ago. I saw the videos. Popping
up here and there. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay. But then again, that's just the thing. Like, the one in the 60s was, and it all ended in a catastrophe. Because, oh yeah, the Mothman's a harbinger of bad things. Well, who really knows? This thing in Chicago, it's just there. You know, it's like a Chicago hot dog, which are terrible, by the way.
I've lived in Chicago for a few years and going out there, and I was like, what are you putting in your hot dog? I was like, isn't it like a hamburger? Like, there's better ways to hold all this stuff on a hot dog.
I don't want a giant
pickle. On like a bun. Yeah.
It's not a hot dog. To me, the stranger they are, the more I'm fascinated by them. And then on the other side, the more grounded they are. I think Bigfoot is kind of grounded. The Dover Demon, as a UFO enthusiast. In fact, let me see.
I have it. It's back here somewhere.
So this is what the Dover Demon pretty much looked like.
Oh, it's got like kind of demonish, kind of like a gray a little bit. And then I'm getting it coming in and out. Yeah, but it looks more demonish in the skull, but also could, what year was this? Like,
this was in the 70s. This predated Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where that kind of gray kind of thing became part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
So I believe whatever they saw was probably, I used to believe it's not of this earth. Yeah, I used to also believe UFOs were something coming from somewhere else, but I'm starting to think maybe these things are always here and have always been here, and sometimes they just pop up.
So we're talking about the ocean earlier, and you know, the ocean's not barely explored at all. You know, like, you can watch they have these YouTube videos of how deep the ocean is, and they'll show like the Statue of Liberty, and it's like, you know, off of the East Coast, and you know, you're seeing the Hancock Building in Chicago, and it just keeps going down and down, like how deep the ocean's just insane. And we haven't explored much of it. I love the USOs. I love the underwater UFOs. I love the submarines getting buzzed. Like what is happening down there? And is that where, you know, you're hearing the stories that some of these UFOs are flying in the sky at however fast they're going, and they just smoothly transition right into the water. Yep. Like, is the water always their home, and they just pop up in the sky just as somewhere else to go? Like, a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. Truly fascinating.
And they don't lose speed. So whatever speed they've attained in the air, they maintain that same speed below the water with no visible means of propulsion. That's some fascinating stuff. Wouldn't it be amazing if this is all coming out of our collective subconscious and we create these things? That would be my favorite solution to all of this. Is this is us, an extension of us.
Enough people can put enough belief into something and create, forget the word for it is, but that's kind of a fascinating thing. It's like what you're talking about. If I, you know, knew the English language and could pull that word out of my head.
I think they call it, is it tulpas that they call them, where you can create something from your mind and it almost explains, you get Kenneth Arnold seeing something, a UFO in the 40s. And as more and more people start to latch on to this, more and more things are appearing. And it's becoming, since the New York Times article in 2017 about Pentagon and UFOs and the kind of disclosure that they're doing, there's more and more sightings. So is it just feeding into this collective subconscious? And it's just, we're just boom, 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 creating all these things. And here's my favorite. What if what we're creating is some long imprinted memory of the way things used to be here?
Do you follow any of this, the Graham Hancock type of thing of like civilization being wiped out and like maybe we were advanced beforehand, this whole Göbekli Tepe and like the pyramids being older? Do you have any?
I believe that there have been different versions of us that have just come and gone. And then there were some that have come and they're still there. Some of these monuments, we can't duplicate them now. With all the equipment that we have right now, we can't duplicate the pyramids. There have been groups that have tried to build small versions and they can't do it with that kind of precision. I'm not saying that they had like the same kind of tools that we had. I think they use it with different tools. I think
with
the knowledge we don't have anymore.
Yeah, I think what period you're living in, your physics or your in the box science that you have, like that kind of puts you in your box. But if you move to Mars, I wouldn't care what the Pythagorean theorem is, or I wouldn't care what your, you know, speed of light, but we thought of something else here. And I think on this Earth, you know, as we've had giant dinosaurs and we've had, you know, they have mountains that they're showing that could actually be petrified trees when you get an aerial view of them. And it's like, that kind of looks like a tree stump that was cut down that just happens to be like a mile wide. Like, it's kind of crazy. So, you know, was math different? Was, you know, your ability to do things in this world different? And I think that's possible.
I hope the world isn't what we've made it out to be right now in the last 100 years. If this is all there is, this is just a waste of cosmic energy.
I find it hard. Like, we didn't do anything forever. Like, we had the pyramids and then, you know, there was paintings and there was sculpture. You look at some of the sculptures that are just amazing. Like, my Twitter feed is just filled of like Michelangelo and all these other, they had one of the queens and she had this ruffled thing around her neck and then it was just one piece of marble, but it was all like, it looked like it was lace and each little cutout, and like, okay, like where was the error? Like, they made zero errors in this entire thing. Like, we can't do any of that now. You'll see people trying to touch up a famous painting and it's like, did a five-year-old do that? Like, we just don't have skills anymore.
I don't know if it's a lack of skill or we are too distracted. Maybe if that's all that you do, you wake up in the morning, I sculpt, I have no other distractions. I sculpt when the sun comes up and I stop sculpting when the sun goes down. Maybe that's it. We have a million things going on. I've done like 40 things today. So we're like experts at nothing, but know a little bit enough about enough, but a lot of little things to get us in trouble.
Yeah, jack of all trades, master of none. I definitely fit that box.
Yeah, it's a good badge to have.
Yeah, I'm like, I can help you with a little bit of everything. You need help with your home remodel? I can do bare minimum, but I can help you out. You know, you need help changing a tire, I can do a little bit of that, but like, hey, I can't really work on your car. I can't really do an entire house remodel for you.
Yeah, I'd rather that than a jack of no trades.
I actually do nothing. I'm an influencer. What are you talking about? This is what I do.
I play video games.
Yeah. See them on Twitch or whatever it is, and they're making $1 million. Like, you play, like, no one paid me shit when I was a kid playing video games for hours.
Nobody was watching me play Tetris.
Yeah, I was dominating.
I was Tetris master. I quit my job once to play Tetris for the entire summer.
You got me choking over here. How'd that work out for you?
I did pretty good. I wasted a lot of time. We would start. It was my girlfriend, who was my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time, and her mother was divorced. So she was living with somebody else. So we had this great 3-bedroom apartment to ourselves. And it was just friends and her brother. And we would start playing Tetris at like 5 o'clock at night. and go till 5 or 6 in the morning, just drinking and getting more louder and more. No, I don't know how the cops didn't just pull us out of that house and beat us up. But we all quit our jobs to become Tetris masters. And my wife supported all of us with her little job working in the doctor's office.
That's true love now. She's like, oh, I saw your potential as a Tetris master, and I had to latch onto this wagon.
I'll never forget, she got DuckTales, the game, for Nintendo.
Yeah.
And mastered it in like a week. And we were like, oh, we should go to DuckTales now.
Switch over to that.
Slid over to DuckTales.
Yeah, there were definitely extra semesters at college due to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater that came out. And that was the perfect group game because it was only a 2-minute round. And then also had like awesome punk music. And you would just play this, and it was 2 minutes, you'd pass it on. But because it was only 2 minutes, it's not, you know, like you could play Grand Theft Auto or somebody who's really good at Super Mario. You're like, I'm not getting the controller back for an hour. Like, I'm just going to leave. But like knowing, like, all right, well, I'm 3 people away. So in 6 minutes, I'm playing again. And, you know, it just kept you hooked in there.
The worst I ever did, I'm old enough to, we went from pinball to arcades to Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Asteroids. And I used to have to, my father would give me we grew up Irish Catholics. And he gave me the envelope that you had to put in the basket for church. But there was an arcade right across the street from the church. So I would take the money out of the envelope. I put the envelope in.
That's all he told you to do. He just told you to put the envelope in. Like, hey,
I figured it was proof that he was there, even though I was the proxy. And then I would just play video games until the priest was like, John, we've got all your envelopes, but there's nothing in the envelopes. He almost killed me. I'm surprised I'm here.
I have the high score here on Zaxxon over here. What are you talking about?
Phoenix. That was my game I could not get enough of. Yeah. Phoenix and Berserk. I was like spending all his church money on video.
I just don't know why I didn't understand like the disconnect between the generations.
I can't believe I was honest too. He asked me, I'm playing video games with it. Dummy.
Yeah. Okay, put the envelope in. This is, just not getting it. Yeah. The Jersey Devil, I find that hard. I find that hard to believe. So this is like Mrs. Lead, she had her 13th child, a horrible birth. She wished it was a demon to get out of her and turns into the Jersey Devil. People see it. I do enjoy the stories where there's tracks in the snow that are miles long that like stop at a river or a pond and pick up on the other side or jumps over a fence. And it's just nonstop. I don't know the last Jersey Devil sighting, but in their defense, this is like the 1700s. You're in the woods. There's no electricity. You know, you have a little oil lamp. You know, shadows are crazy. So this is probably 2016 or 17. I'm living in my old house and I'm playing basketball in the driveway with my son. And he's like 3 at the time. And it's getting to be like 7:30 on a summer night. So, you know, starting to get that twilight type of time.
Right.
And this 2-foot thing lands on the roof of my house, on my garage, the roof of my garage. And we're playing. I look up and I'm like, what? Like, what is that? I don't know if it was a turkey vulture. I don't know if it was some type of owl, but it sat up there and I stared at it. And a minute later, it goes to fly and its body was like way too heavy for its wings. Like as it was flapping, it was dropping down lower and the flap would pick it back up and would drop down lower. And I was like, all right, well, I know that's not the Jersey Devil. But if I was in the 1700s, I'd be like, that's the Jersey Devil. Like that thing was a true monster. You know, and now, you know, in hindsight, it's like, yeah, it was probably, you know, a turkey vulture or, you know, whatever it might have been. But seeing something of that size and the body was too big for its wings, like, you know, I can get that a little bit. How that's still stuck around for so long, you know, I don't know.
So you don't believe that a woman gave birth to a flying kangaroo goat devil?
Maybe. I've seen some ugly babies in my time. It could, you know, like maybe.
Not all babies are cute. Yeah. I agree. And you know what? With what you saw, nature doesn't always get it right. There are birth defects across everything that gives birth. So maybe you saw something that's maybe a turkey vulture, but something kind of wrong. It ate McDonald's, like the mom ate McDonald's somewhere and completely destroyed its DNA. I mean, who knows? I always found the Jersey Devil story to be a fun. I think that started out as a fun story to scare the crap out of people back in the day. You didn't have television. You didn't have radio. Probably didn't have money in them, didn't even have books, but it's a great story to tell. Keeps the kids inside when you don't want them wandering around too far from the house or the farm.
I know that there were supposed sightings in 1909 in southern Jersey that went all the way down into Philadelphia, made the papers. Again, there was no definitive. And why would they say it's the Jersey Devil? This is hundreds of years after the Jersey Devil story began. So I don't know why they assumed it was that. Could have been a guy just, you know, maybe he discovered PCP and he was just going nuts running around. he was pioneer of PCP.
Running around, eating people's faces. And they're like, ah, it's the Jersey Devil.
Exactly. Yeah. But
look at the news now. Turn the news on now. You know, follow whatever political party you want. And you can see the fake news within your own realm of the political parties you follow. But why wouldn't there have been a time in the 1900s? Like, hey, man, like, you know, 1909, dude, newspaper sales are down 30%. Like, how do we juice this up? Like, people don't care that there was a deer hit on the side of the road, or, hey, they're building a new development. Like, throw a monster in there. Oh, sales spiked.
And it's proven that they would do that. They still do it now. Now, they used to call it the Weekly World News. Rest in peace, that wonderful newspaper.
That was a good one.
But, yeah, I mean, and history is wrong within an hour of something happening. So,
well, this is my problem of why I'm addicted to Twitter. And like, I understand my addiction is pointless. Like, I am the smartest person for an hour. Like, I have this all figured out. And then an hour later, it's like, nope, that was all disproven. And we actually moved on to another story, another slant, and none of that was true. And I just wasted, you know, half my life.
Yeah. Like, if you and I and say three other people were in a room and we witnessed something happen, you're going to get five different stories. And then we're going to tell them to somebody else who's going to get that story wrong. And then somewhere along the line, someone writes that down and that becomes the history. It's not even close to what the original story was anymore. So that's why the Jersey Devil, I've always taken that with a grain of salt. I think it's a great story. It's a creepy story. The appearance of that creature is kind of terrifying. As an Islander fan, I'm terrified to see the Devils come to town. but it was fertile ground for me to have a lot of fun. And I think I would have had fun with the Jersey Devil story anyway, but it wasn't until I went to the Pine Barrens and said, anything is possible in this weird place. So we got the little tiny pine trees that don't grow more than like 3 or 4 feet, full size trees. They've got soft sand areas where you could walk and fall. You fall into the roof of a factory that has sunk into the sand sometime in the 17, 1800s. There's death everywhere around there.
The cranberry bogs, like you step in that, you're never getting out of it.
No, you're done. But do you ever hear the cranberry bog spiders?
No.
Oh, look those up. Right, we have a cranberry bog over here that I told my daughter I'm going to throw her into in the summer and see if she can get away from spiders because she hates
There's
them.
A shitty golf course near me. I'm not very good at golf, but it used to be $19 to ride. And I was like, this is perfect for me. After hole two, you don't see anybody ever again. You know, you can just have your beers and your cigars and not get worried at all. And there's just a cranberry bogs all around. So now I'm going to have to worry about spiders as I'm out there and my balls are all over the place. My golf balls are all over the place. I have to keep myself covered.
I was wondering how you're playing golf. Yeah.
Oh, how do you get naked here? What's happening? I told you if they're whole two, you don't see anybody. I'm like, just enjoy it. Get out there.
By the way, that should be the title of this episode. And it's not clickbait, ladies and gentlemen, because this is really discussed on the show.
This is true. True story.
So I want to ask you, what's your favorite cryptid?
So I don't want to have to go with, you know, recency bias here. But since I've heard about Dogman in the last, I feel like it's blown up a lot in the last 3 years. I am fascinated and terrified by that one. Like Bigfoot, you know, him swiping, you know, the people you're talking about riding on the ATVs. That seems very uncharacteristic for Bigfoot. He doesn't really like to get involved, it seems. He doesn't really attack people. You don't hear too much of this, except for that woman now lost in Washington State. You know, God rest her soul. You don't hear too much of that. But Dogman out there, you know, you hear people, they're out there with their dog walking in the woods, and their dog fights Dogman and like sacrifices its life so that the owner can barely escape out of the woods and make it home. I find that terrifying and fascinating.
As a person who grew up loving Universal Monsters, to me, Dogman is just our version of the Wolfman. I'm sure there's not a man changing into the Dogman, but it's to me, it's kind of similar, and it really fascinates me. That would make me do number one and number two really fast if I saw that in the woods, more so than the Bigfoot. Because the Bigfoot, I feel there might be some connection. Like, oh, maybe you are kind of an offshoot. Maybe you're my cousin. Dogman has no relation to me.
Zero, yeah. And you hear people, you know, hunters in the woods, like, I saw Bigfoot. I aimed my rifle at it and looked at its eyes, and its eyes just looked too human. Like, I could not shoot it. Like, I've shot other things. I've shot deer, but whatever they might have shot. And they're like, I had this lined up, and, like, something would not let me pull the trigger on it. And, yeah. You know, so that's our cousins. That's fine. Like, you would see them, like, you know, you'd get invited back to the party, you know, there'd be some, like, Sprite and chips, and you'd hang out and meet Aunt Bigfoot, and be like, oh, yeah, it's all family. Yeah. Dogman, zero relation. Wolfman, werewolf, whatever you want to call it. Like, that thing would just tear you to shreds.
Yes. And no, thank you. Don't. So, all right, that's interesting. Have you ever heard of Puckwudgies?
So I was just going to ask, I was going to describe something and ask you what the name was, because they're the Puckwudgie and then a Wego or something. They're like kind of flat to the ground like a spider, and they move in weird directions and climb up the side of mountains. Or is this what these things are?
Oh, no. Puckwudgies are awesome. I wrote a story that I did it just for Patreon. I'm going to actually put it out. It was called Clash of the Cryptids, and it was as many cryptids as I could cram into this story. And there are like aerial fights between bat squatches and Jersey devils and thunderbirds and stuff. But my favorite thing that I've ever written was these Puckwudgies, who are, they're Native American lore. They're like these little tiny kind of dark people-y creature things that they're like Nightcrawler from the X-Men. They can like blink in and blink out.
Yeah.
And they're very mischievous. They don't like people. They have tiny little spears sometimes. Jab people with spears. This is from like up in Massachusetts, the Bridgewater Triangle up in Massachusetts. That's kind of like their hometown.
Okay.
Anybody who watches this show, just go down the Puckwudgie rabbit hole one day, and you're going to be glad you went there, because they're awesome. I wish I had one in my house.
It's kind of like the Darby O'Gill leprechauns. They're like fighting them and stabbing them, and you know, but now you're having fading in and out. This is like the Miami Mall monsters and the Darby O'Gill leprechauns, but Native American. Mentioned
Darby O'Gill.
Great movie.
We named a rabbit Darby.
Did you?
Yes, like 30 years ago, we had a rabbit named Darby because of that movie.
Yeah, so, that movie, dude, that banshee, frightening.
You're the first person I've met, and I can't tell you how long, who came up with that. So, bravo!
There Darby we go. O'Gill. Yep. A balls out playing golf and Darby O'Gill. I'm making your night.
You are, really.
Yep. You've heard about the Grand Canyon, these Egyptian things in there. Like, there's supposed to be pyramids. There's Egyptian names. There are, you know, you're not allowed in there. So we talk about the culture being erased, whatever it might have been. Do you think this is part of that hidden history, that there was just a larger culture going on?
There was obviously a larger global culture. On too many continents, there are very similar artifacts still left, including pyramids. At a time when people could barely get across a creek, much less traveling across oceans. So I do believe that at one point, it was easy to travel, or they figured out a way to travel back and forth. And there was this interconnection with all of them, and they were spreading their knowledge to each other. It is written on the planet right now. And if you deny it, I don't understand what you're so locked in. We talked earlier. You said you're locked into your time period. You're locked into your physics. A lot of people are just locked into the concepts, the preconceived concepts that they grew up in. It's what they spent all their money on studying, going to school, having a job in that field. You can't just throw that away. It's your entire life. So if you look outside of that, then you feel like you've wasted your entire life. It's as opposed to like coming up with something new and possibly brilliant and life-changing, game-changing. I think people get too invested in everything that they've done. But yes, I believe that could be part of this chain of people that all somehow coexisted at one point or another and spread out. Either they started at a central point, or they started out at all these different vectors around the planet and found a way to interconnect with each other and share what they knew. It's one of the most fascinating things, just thinking about the history that we've lost and we'll never know. Like, I always hope that when we die, we get to know everything. Like, it comes to you like
this. I hope so.
Right?
I do. I hope so.
Because we'll never know. There's nothing you can discover right now that you'll ever understand fully.
Even if the Vatican opened their archives, if the Smithsonian did, so much stuff has just been lost.
Lost, and their archives, and their archives are also false. Because like we said about the truth and true history gets lost within a couple of iterations.
It's whoever decided to write it, what was the best adjective they could think? Like, well, who's going to buy more papers? Was it a shiny silver metallic sphere? Or like, well, it was kind of just a light in the sky. Like, well, I don't know. People are really going to buy just a, like, there's stars in the sky. Why would they buy this newspaper to read about a random star in the sky? So exactly. You add more descriptions and you add, you know, you've paid writers producing to entertain people at that time.
See, I think, remember when they did that storm Area 51 thing a few years ago?
Right. Yep. Yep.
Now, of course, they made a big deal about it before they went. So you're like, if you're at Area 51, you go, well, I don't want them to find anything. Okay, we'll just move them somewhere else. This thing in the Grand Canyon, if it's really there, storm it. Everyone get together and just go. They can't stop a whole horde of people who want to see and want to know, right? And you can't hide it. It's part of the Grand Canyon. So I don't know. I think we need to insist more. Right now, they've relegated anybody who's interested in this to crackpots and fools and uneducated. And that's not the case. There's very educated people who are interested in this stuff.
Yeah, I think that the turning of the UFO tide is helping make everything else a little more acceptable. Now, you know, we start getting into like Dogman and stuff. People might be like, well, I mean, that's a little too much. But, you know, you start getting into Mount St. Helens when that exploded. Apparently, they airlifted dead Bigfoot out of there and they had to go there and clean up, you know, dead ones there. There was a news article I was reading or a story I was reading somewhere in Virginia. This family was vacationing there and a Bigfoot kind of was terrorizing them and they ran into town and when they came back, it was blocked off by the police and they're like, oh, what's happening here? And they're like, oh no, there's a migration of turtles that we have to make sure nobody goes up here. But apparently the town was okay. Like the Bigfoot were there and they came there, they kind of just blocked it off and let them do their thing and they would leave.
Right.
Now, you know, there's a ton of stories as we talked about. It's not just in one area. It's not just, you know, happening in Florida. It's not just the skunk ape in the Florida swamp, you know, and you're like, well, that doesn't really apply to me. Like Bigfoot is all over. UFOs are all over. And now you have major people, you know, US government, you have other governments, you have congressional hearings coming out, whistleblowers talking about UFOs. I think it's going to give a little more credence to a lot more of this stuff.
I really hope so. Because like you said, Bigfoot's everywhere. Every state has a Bigfoot and it's called by different things. Could be Momo, the grass man, whatever. They all have it. Almost every continent has a Bigfoot. That's kind of hard to discount completely. And I really hope that, I hope you're right, that what's going on with UFOs trickles down to the other areas. And I hope it's not all related. You know, that's grand unified theory.
Yeah, no. I need this all kind of be separate stuff here. I need everything that needs to have its box.
Yeah. And look, I'm not asking for everything to be true. Just give me a few. I know Pukwudgies aren't real. It'd be great if they were.
Yeah. You have a little pet, just a little guy. Like, stop stabbing through a little spear, a little toothpick, man. Kind of hurts.
God, stop it, man.
I throw a club cracker at him. He goes off in the corner and nibbles on it. You're like, oh, he's a cute little pet.
And then he puffs out of existence. And then you hear him upstairs. He's teleported his way up there.
So that's a good point about, like, let's go storm the Grand Canyon. You know, they have all these, you know, there's the rumors that all these state parks are kind of the tunnel system. And that's why they have them. So people can't go dig in there. The camping's regulated and they can send, you know, the state park rangers in there to get rid of it. But David Pallades, he does
the missing 411.
411. And you match that up. Yeah. And you match it up and it kind of goes under with those deep underground military bases. And it kind of goes around with where the state parks are. It's really fascinating stuff. And I think as people start hearing more of this, as we get more of the Graham Hancock hidden history, his Netflix special that he had, I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did.
But there was the place in Turkey that was like 30 stories down and they built all these things, but they're like, oh, well, there was a warring tribe next door. So they knew they were coming and these people, the stone soft enough to chip with an axe. Like, so you created ventilation systems and enough for 40,000, like the warring tribe would have been here already.
Exactly. It's like you look at stuff like this is generations of working on this. Has to be.
Yeah. Like go watch or yourself or like go in your backyard and try to dig something. And you're like, shit, man, like I didn't plan this out at all. Like none of this is working out. But yet everything they have has completely worked out.
Yeah.
And it's still stood the test of time. Right. Yeah.
This house I'm in, 100 years from now, if nobody's living in here, it's gone. We no trace of it.
Yeah, I've got wood damage in my front door. I need to go fix this house. Is 30 years old. I'm like, Jesus, man.
So it's this house. This house is about 30 years old.
Yeah, I should have built this out of marble. Like, come on, this could still have been standing.
But yeah, I think I look at everything that we built, and I look at things that were built in antiquity, and I'm like, you can't even compare the two. The stuff that we have now is just flimsy. We think we're the marbles. We think we're the smartest kids on the block, but we can't even come close to what they were doing thousands of years ago.
So I love the, just like the hidden history we're talking about, but the like the hidden technology things that'll come up. Like they'll find a cog in a piece of coal that they broke, and like, oh, this piece of coal is 1 million years old, and they open it up, and they're like, well, that cog must have slipped in here, and that's not a machine part. But now, do I think there's machines 1 million years ago? I don't really know, because they're kind of lying to us about everything. But that's the stuff that I need to know about. Like, this is what I kind of hope we have a life review at death. I need the world review.
I know. God, it would be so horrible if you die and just nothing.
Like, I have to come back and do this again?
I would do that. You could send me back. I studied Buddhism for quite a number of years until it got too much for my Western mind to wrap around. But because when my oldest daughter was born, our first daughter, she came here with a whole set of fears and stuff that had nothing to do with anything. And I was like, this kid's been here before. And she would say things that would just run chills down your spine when she was just learning how to talk. And we always assumed I was the only male she wasn't terrified of from birth. And I'm like, why is she afraid of men? She's not afraid of me, thank God, as her dad. Yeah. And that got me down. I studied Buddhism with a monk, just singular, me and him together. And he was convinced that she was reborn. And I hope that's the case. I hope you get another chance. I just don't want to come back as like an ant or a mayfly. Or don't send me back when things are really tits up on the planet.
Yeah, well, it's kind of happening now. I mean, I don't know. When you come back, really? It has to be a little better, I would think. I'm not too sure.
But I also think if you're reborn, I brought this up to the monk, why wouldn't you just be reborn here? You could be reborn anywhere, right? He was like, yeah, you could.
So I think that's just our current mind that we have. Like, the earth is only it, but I could come back anywhere. I could go live anywhere. Yeah. So I was interviewing an occultist, and I was trying to get down to his practices of like what he does. And he is, so at first, like, well, it kind of sounds like devil worship. Like, I don't know how much I want to do on the show. You know, I don't really think much would happen to me. I don't want something attaching to me, like, dabbling in all that negativity. But he was getting in, and like some of his practices, I was like, well, I actually kind of think that myself, like going on. It's kind of like a little like a new age mixed with like religion, a little bit of Buddhism. He's pulling everywhere. And he's going on. He's like, yeah, like some of your stuff that you say is like comes from the occult world. I'm like, oh, damn it. I'm already getting roped in. But what he is doing is he is trying to master his life, this current living life, so that when he dies, he chooses his death and how he's not going to be reborn, but he is just going to be the permanent energy that he, we are all supposed to be. He's going to achieve his final infinite goal.
His nirvana. Like
yes. So, but like, this is what his entire occult practice is. He's like, oh, there's people who try to do it for like money or revenge or love or whatever. And he's like, this is just another step too. I was like, but this kind of sounds like, like a Buddhism or like, embrace everything around you. But like, you kind of do incantations and may talk to spirits in your head. Is like, I don't know.
I have a friend who's an occultist, and he tells me something like, I wish he didn't tell me this, because now I'm scared to death and I can't go to sleep. Like, if you tell me Bigfoot's outside the door right now, I'd be like, all right, he'll probably go away. I might throw some carrots outside. The stuff he tells me worries me. And he's not a dark arts kind of person, but the stuff that he does, and he bought a cabin in the woods specifically to practice his craft. And I'm like, thank you. I don't need to know a single other thing that you do, but thank you. You're a lovely man. And good luck in your endeavors.
I have the left hand and the right hand path, and I was trying to follow it along, and I was like, I feel like I'm like both hands here, but I didn't realize how much occult beliefs that I actually had, or even just the Maloik, the evil eyes. Like, he's like, that's occult. He's like, your grandmother probably said. I was like, oh yeah, she definitely did. He's like, that's an occult belief. I was like, oh, grandmom, you're an occultist.
If she only knew.
Yeah,
she wouldn't care. She'd still give you the Maloik.
That's still what I'm like. Yeah. She used to have a boat oar underneath her living room couch, like a giant boat oar. And she, like my brother and I ever acted up, she pulled it out the one time. And she's like, if you act up, I used to hit your mom and aunt and uncles with this. I'll hit you with it. And it was like a 30-foot reach. And I was like, oh, Jesus, grandma. I'm like, we were best behavior from then on.
A boat oar.
A boat underneath pulled it out. I was like, where? Like, you're in Philadelphia. What boat are you getting on? Like, what? Like, you know?
Good Lord.
Kensington. Yeah, like, Jesus.
I thought the wooden spoon was bad that I got.
Oh, she had a giant, yeah. Oh, giant wooden spoon. This is huge. Like,
yeah, man. I don't mess with your grandma. My grandma, one of my grandmas looked like Mrs. Butterworth. She was awesome.
Just smells so delicious. I just want to hold on to you. A little
bit. She loved to make pancakes too. And I was such a brat. She'd make me like regular pancakes. I go, no, I want a monkey. All right, I'll make you a monkey. Here you go. Yeah, and make the tail crisp.
It's not everything else, just the tail. Just the, like, oh, man. That's it. Yeah. Grandparents were, you know, my parents are, they weren't mean to me, but they like the things that they let my kids get away with, you know, their grandchildren. I'm like, wait, do we have any rules here? Like, could you please respect the little bit that like I'm trying to instill in them? And like, nope, sorry, grandparent time.
Yeah. I wonder how I'm going to be.
Just spoil them. You know, it's like.
It's funny because I'm like the disciplinarian, but I'm also the most fun. So I keep kids on their toes.
They don't know which side you're getting. And that's where I'm at with it, too. They're like, is he joking or is he going to just like blow his top? I'm like, well, it depends if I step on the Lego in the next 10 seconds or not. We'll see what happens here. God,
the damn Legos. So glad I am well past that.
So one of the last things I'll do before we wrap up here. Do you have the mud flood? Have you followed any of that?
No, I have not.
So this is kind of the ancient civilization. But so the mud flood, a lot of these. You know, you can look at pictures of San Francisco and some of these old cities, and they have windows that are like sub underground. So this isn't like a garden floor apartment, but like as they were digging up to put gas in, they're finding front doors lower underneath the ground. They're finding a building that seems like it was just repurposed and like, okay, we don't use the bottom three floors. This one we enter on, this is the new number one. So like a 10-story building is really 13 and it's like three sub floors below. They don't acknowledge it. They don't do any of it. So, you know, some of this is like, all right, I don't have to believe in the internet. I'm hearing some things. You know, I'm talking to some people. I had a guy on. He is in a paranormal blues band. So he sings songs about Bigfoot. He sings song about Mothman. That's awesome. And things. So fun, too. But he loves UFOs, too. So I bring the mud flood, and he's like, oh, I don't really know about it. So I start telling him. He's like, dude, I'm in Philadelphia. My buddy has a marketing company. He's moving out of the building. So he asked me if I can come over and help move some boxes. So I'm over there, and they're like, hey, like, do you want to go show them what's in the basement? And he's like, yeah, come here. I'll show you in the basement. I'm like, it's like Blair Witch stuff, man. Like, they're going to take you down the basement. He's like,
yeah, he was standing in the corner.
Yeah. So he's like, we go down in the basement and there is a storefront. There are old shoes, like just, you know, looks like 1700s, 1800s. There's old shoes in front of the storefront that has a door that has a glass windows and everything. So this is underground. You know, this is the basement in Philadelphia. Well, guess what kind of the problem is with Philadelphia is that, you know, there's the Betsy Ross house. There's Ben Franklin's house. There's Revolutionary War graves there, you know, from this. So where did this subterranean, you can go tour all these places now. Like they weren't raised 20 feet. Where was all of this? So as his buddy was kind of giving him some rough history, he's like, oh no, they dredged all this out before. I was like, okay, so where did you move 20 feet of dirt? Where did you excavate all of this on like horse and buggy? And like, how did you get like all this just sounds kind of crazy. So this just kind of goes to, there was some type of cataclysm. This could have been, you know, one, are the years correct? Or, you know, you see some coins that say like I 700, and like, oh, that's 1700. And then some people are like, well, that kind of like says like I as like the year and then like 700. So like, are we truly in 2024? Or are we in the year like 1024? I don't know.
Right.
You know,
yeah, we have no clue.
Yeah. And it's kind of easy to go fix history. And, you know, the Dark Ages, there's not a lot happening there. Like, was not a lot of happening because it's a lot harder to go invent history. And like, oh, well, people were just sick and they weren't reading. And there wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of things happening then. Or did you just add like 500 years to say like, oh, my family should be ruling because I can show you the history here. And you see now, I mean, like textbooks just get changed. And my kid will come home and be like, hey, dad, do you know who discovered America? And like, I'm in a panic. I'm like, I'm like, are we still doing Columbus? Like, is that the right? Like, are you quizzing me here? And like, you know, the newly recognized that like, it definitely wasn't Columbus and Vikings were here and God knows who else sailed over here. And, you know, you're showing that they can get on the Pacific and there's just a little highway that takes them right to California if you just jump on any type of raft. I'm like, oh, we're still doing the Columbus thing.
It's actually like, some guy named Ralph.
Oh, just Ralph. Oh, much better.
He was a world.
I saw his movie. He broke the internet. It was a good one. I liked him. Yeah. So the mud flood is just that there are these places that have modern buildings to us, you know, but they're kind of the 100-year-old ones, you know, the city hall type of things. Right. And there are subfloors to them that you see as they were digging up the putting gas lines, or as they were going to go, you know, pave a road, and they were digging things up, and you start seeing more and more of it. Huh. A little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Portland Underground. I mean, I know there were cities that have undergrounds because there was some fire or something like that, and then they kind of just start over from the top. But if there's no history, and this isn't ancient history, this is America. So,
right.
That's bizarre.
Like our oldest thing, you know, it's like 300 years old, you know, I mean.
That's what I'm going to be looking up after this.
Yeah. So this we have to do. So I'm trying to find out the street address. You shoot down here. We'll go to Philadelphia. We're going to go find the subground, and then we're going to hang out in the Pine Barrens. And we're going to have a barbecue with the Pineys.
I am with you to that last part.
We're going to have a peace treaty with the Pineys. They know Bigfoot's up.
You and I will be the barbecue for the Pineys.
Yeah, it might be. I'm partial Piney. I'm like a quarter of a mile from the Pine Barrens. I'm like almost Piney.
Dude, you are not a Piney.
I have too many teeth. There's
you got a house with happening. A ceiling fan. Yeah. You are not.
We're living it up over here, man.
You have electricity.
Full electricity. Got it going on. Man, I sincerely appreciate you coming on. I had so much fun with this. I hope this wasn't terrible for you.
No, this is awesome.
I love it. Where can people find you? What do you have coming up? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you go to huntershay.com, that's gives you a link to everywhere. Actually, it doesn't give the link to Instagram. So Instagram is huntershay2017. I just joined TikTok the other day. I don't know how long that's going to last. That might be a week. I'm not sure.
I haven't done TikTok yet. I talked to these college kids. They were on my pod. They're like killing it for doing what they are. And you know, I was like, all right, let me talk to the college crowd, see what's happening. They were sober-minded. I was like, well, okay, like this doesn't sound as scary as like the internet showing me like college is now. But he's like, oh, look here, you do this clip thing, you put it on TikTok, you get a quick million views. I was like, all right, I know the Chinese have all my stuff. Should I even truly be afraid of the Chinese government as much as it's pushed? I am just not 100% ready to sign up for an app that I know is going to suck up all my information.
I mean, I agree with that. But I have Chinese tattoos, so I figure, all right, we're kind of on the same.
Partial. So this is like, I'm part Piney here. You're like part. They're like, oh, don't like Hunter stuff, man. He's a good dude.
That guy. I got my daughter's names in Chinese on my arm. But my latest book just came out end of January, Combustible. So this is there are no cryptids in it, but it's a post-apocalyptic road trip with body horror brought on by spontaneous human combustion. Very funny. And centers around a married couple who were about to split up when this pandemic of spontaneous human combustion starts. So they're stuck with each other and freaking hate each other. So it's a very different book, but I was trying to show everybody that the pandemic doesn't have to be all bad. There's bright sides to pandemics.
Pandemic gave me this podcast. It gave me the resources to do this. They're comfortable with technology. For the most part, everything worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It wasn't the pandemic we were sold.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I was driving 100 miles an hour on empty roads. It was great. Nobody was around.
I don't think I left my house. I just had Drizzly was delivering alcohol. I had
Drizzly wouldn't come to me.
No? Oh, man.
No, I know.
I just went out of business. I just saw. I poured one out for them. I saw, like, I guess the Instacart, because now they're delivering alcohol and everything else and packages. And yeah. But I would have Instacart drop off my groceries. I would have Drizzly drop off alcohol. And I was like, I don't have to leave my house ever. This is great.
I was an essential worker. So I had to get up and out, but you know, I would just go from my house, drive like a maniac, because even my friends who were cops were like, we're not going to pull you over. We don't care. And we don't want you to give us COVID when you roll down your window.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it was great. And I'd just go to like my property and sit in a locked room all day long and do whatever I wanted. I was like, I hope this never ends.
Disease X is coming back, man. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, whatever. Bring it on.
We'll have something else. Dude, I'm going to put all your stuff in the show notes so people can find you. You are welcome back anytime. You have a new book coming out. You want to get weird and talk about anything? I'm fully in. And I'll just shoot you a link when this comes out. You can check it out. And, you know, I hope you don't die of embarrassment.
Not at all. This was a blast, man. This is my kind of stuff. I like to just go all over the place.
Yep.
But it was still entrenched in the shit I love to talk about. And now mud floods, forget it. I'm done tomorrow. I won't be working.
You got to check out the mud floods. I'll see if I can find a good link. I'll shoot it over to you. We'll see what's happening with it. But I appreciate it. You have a great night, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take it easy, man.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. That was our show. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. Like and follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on all things wild and weird. Check out the links in the show notes for more information on our guest. The biggest support you can offer is to tell everyone about the podcast. Until next time.